NFL playoffs live on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings you the AFC and NFC championship games, streaming live for free this Sunday on the Odyssey app. The 49ers visit the Eagles.
Touchdown, Jalen Hurts.
Gives it to McCaffrey, up the middle into the end zone.
And then it's a rematch between the Bengals and the Chiefs.
Wide open, Ja'Marr Chase takes it in.
Touchdown, Chiefs.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
It is Zach Gilb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Hopefully we'll have Kevontae Turpin join us from the Dallas Cowboys coming up in a few moments. I do want to take care of a few notes after that Buffalo Bills game, though, first, up against Cincinnati Bengals, where we saw the Bills have a disastrous end to their season. Brandon Bean did address reporters earlier today, and I want to play the cut of Brandon Bean talking about Ja'Marr Chase and the Bengals and how he says he doesn't want to tank in order to get good players like the Bengals did.
They right now are on the advantage of a rookie quarterback contract. And, you know, they had some lean years, and without getting too much into their build, and, you know, I don't want to suck bad enough to have to get Ja'Marr Chase. Like, he's a heck of a talent. I'd love to have him, but you gotta go through some lean years to do that. And they were able to get Burrow one, and I don't remember where Chase was drafted, but it was pretty high. Like, and those guys are on their rookie deals. We're paying Stephon Diggs a pretty hefty number. We're paying Josh Allen a pretty hefty number. So there is the constraints of the cap, but they have a really good team, and they got some good young players.
I like Brandon Bean a lot. He's come on this show a bunch. If I was him, though, and I know you try to be, and I know he tries to be as transparent as possible with the media, I don't know if I would have gone into a very extensive explanation there. Like, I'm not saying anything that he said there, Hickey, is wrong, but it does come off as a little bit excuse-like, like, oh, we don't want to have to suck that badly, and talking about the advantage of the rookie contract. Like, no crap. You have a rookie contract with a quarterback, it allows you to go on out there and do so many other things and have so many other freedoms with the salary cap, but it's not a bad thing, obviously, and I'm not saying he's saying that you have to go out there and pay Josh Allen the contract that he is paid. But you did go out there and trade for Stephon Diggs, so I guess you could argue that by saying, and no one knew for sure. Like, I thought Justin Jefferson was going to be a really good player. And I thought Justin Jefferson in that draft, I never got why people were so down on him and why you had four receivers go in front of him. He was my favorite wide receiver in that draft. And I said that in the moment. And I've always been a big fan of Justin Jefferson. But with me even being a big fan of Justin Jefferson, I could not have imagined that he would go have this historical success in his first 3 years of his career where he would be a top five MVP guy in year number three. In the first 2 years, do things on the football field that have just been absolutely ridiculous. Like, you could argue, Hickey, that if they didn't make that trade for Stephon Diggs, even though that was important in the development of Josh Allen, you would have Justin Jefferson on a rookie contract right now, because the Vikings and the Bills made that trade where it's one of the fairest trades in NFL history, where the Vikings got back a first-round pick for Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs goes to Buffalo, has a lot of instant success, still a tremendous wide receiver in this league, and him and Josh Allen have had a wonderful connection, and then boom, Justin Jefferson goes to the Minnesota Vikings.
I mean, the tough part is, like, obviously there's no guarantee. Like, we have no idea what their board was, so we have no idea if they didn't make the trade, if they would have even taken Justin Jefferson. And it's just like, if you're the Bills, like, you got a bird in the hand with Stephon Diggs. Yeah, you got it. And you see the improvement that Josh Allen had in starting 2020.
Yeah.
Exponential. So it's not like you're regretting that trade.
No.
The thing that also doesn't make much sense is Josh Allen was on a rookie contract this year. I know you signed him to an extension, but he was still under the rookie contract. Like, that doesn't kick until next year. So even though that, yes, the Bengals are on, you know, right now the Joe Burrow rookie deal, technically, this past season, so are the Bills. So it's just like, I mean, I saw a lot of people freaking out. And I'll be honest, I didn't really think it was that bad. Like,
oh,
I think what
you.
He said is he's accurate. Like, he's right. Like, they got two top five picks, and the only way the Bills are going to get two top five picks is by going 4-13. And I don't know if Brandon Bean's going to be there making that pick if they're 4-13 one season, barring a massive injury.
But still, even with him being on a rookie deal, Josh Allen, right, Joe Burrow, in the point that he was making, it should not be a reason why that's the big difference between your teams, why it's to that extreme. I know I laid the 5.5 points with the Bills. I have egg on my face for that. I looked at the line. I said it makes no sense why the Bengals are a 5.5 point dog. It's like they're begging me to plus the points of the Bengals. I know if I do that, the Bills are going to go win by a touchdown. Didn't even get to a scenario where the Bills could win by a touchdown. It wasn't even a scenario where they could lose by a touchdown. Like, that game was a complete and utter ass-kicking. I do think and here's the other thing. And I know Joe Burrow has been phenomenal. And I know Ja'Marr Chase has been great. And this may contradict the point because you look at the Bengals, they had three offensive linemen out. But I don't think the difference between the Bills and the Bengals is, oh, the Bengals have Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd, and the Bills have Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. I think the difference is you look at the Bills, their pass rush did not exist in a game where the Bengals had three offensive linemen out. And also Buffalo is not able to run the football consistently unless it's asking your quarterback, Josh Allen, to be a battering ram. And even though we could all agree the game has moved to more of a more mobile quarterback, like you see the mobility of a Mahomes and Josh Allen, and even a guy like Joe Burrow stays more in the pocket, he can get outside the pocket and extend the play with his legs. If you're asking your quarterback to run the ball and be your leading rusher, it's a dangerous formula. Like, one thing I've said about Lamar Jackson, and I'm a big fan of Lamar Jackson, he avoids taking hits. It's amazing with how much he runs the football. He never really gets jacked up. But the last 2 years, he's been injured. You're just playing with fire when you're asking your quarterback to run that much. It's something that you want. It's an added element. But, Hickey, you can't take it to the extreme of the Buffalo Bills where it's, okay, we'll go into the season. We'll draft James Cook up. He fumbles the football. Then he's got to earn his way back. Devin Motor Singletary, you know, will be bad for 5 games, good for 5 games, then bad for 2, then good for 2. You got to go get a legit back. So if I'm – and I don't usually advocate going on out there and overspending for a running back. But I always say if that's your missing piece, I'm okay with taking a running back in the first round. I'm okay like what the Niners did. At the time, it did seem like a rich price. But is anyone regretting that now in San Francisco with Christian McCaffrey being healthy in the way that he's playing? So I look at the Bills. They got to do 2 things this offseason. And I know they're getting Von Miller back, and unfortunately Von got hurt. And they've drafted pass rush guys that just have not been that consistent. You got to go get another pass rusher. And you also have to get a running back. And I don't want to hear the cap being as a potential excuse, or other teams have other luxuries of having a quarterback on a rookie contract, because how many times do we look at a team and we go, how are they going to get under the cap? And they always find a way to do so. So regardless, you know, if I was Bean, I would not have really extensively answered that question because I just didn't think it made him look good in any regards. I don't think it made him look good because it looked like it was excuse making. And I think that's the one downfall to Brandon Bean. He was just genuinely asking a question. And then he gets just absolutely slammed for it today. All righty. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. It's Me Brands does present Pro Bowl weekend with a celebrity basketball classic coming up on February 4th, 2023. The doors open at 3 p.m. You can get your tickets at itsmebrands.com. Tickets do start at $30. And now joining us is a Pro Bowler who will be participating in this event. and that is from the Dallas Cowboys. And joining us right now is going to be Kevontae Turpin. Kevontae, appreciate the time. Congratulations on the season. How you been?
I'm doing good, man. I want to thank y'all for having me, man.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. So you go from playing in the USFL and being an MVP to then getting in the NFL, and in your first year playing with the Cowboys, you're a Pro Bowler. Can you just explain what this last year was like for you and how you just went through the emotions of this season, getting a lot of praise to your name?
Man, it's been a wonderful journey, man. I can say the journey still continues, man. It just, you know, coming from the USFL, you know, coming from there, you know, it just been a wonderful like lifestyle. Just coming to being a part of the NFL, it just been wonderful, man. Just coming, you know, being AVP of the USFL, you know, coming to the NFL and seeing how different the league is from all other leagues, and it just been a wonderful experience, you know, for me. My first year, it's grateful for me to like make it to the Pro Bowl and all, but it just been a wonderful journey, man. A wonderful journey.
If I would have told you before the year that you would have made the Pro Bowl, what would you have told me?
I probably would have laughed and probably just, you know, joked around, because I probably would never thought of that either. I ain't had no goals coming into this year. Only thing I really just trying to make myself certified as an NFL player. I ain't had no goals of even making the Pro Bowl or none of that. So I probably would have laughed, to be honest.
Where do you think you could go from here? Because you said the journey's not done yet. Like, when we're talking, let's say, in 5 years, what type of player do you think you could turn into?
In 5 years, I'm trying to be five-time Pro Bowler. In 5 years, I'm trying to – every year I'm in the NFL, I'm trying to – that's basically like my goal now since I made it. So my goal is to – however how many years I was in the league, I'm trying to be a Pro Bowler or be something, you know, accomplish something basically.
How do you think you could continue to further develop your game? Like, what type of player – I know you said a Pro Bowler, but what type of player do you think that you'll continue to turn into and develop into, and what do you want to improve on?
I think I'm trying to turn into, you know, one of the best in the league. You know, that's my goal. That's my goal. I'm trying to be, like, the best returner, whatever the Cowboys need me to do. You know, even in our offense, if they do put me in, I'm just trying to be the best I can be for the team and make sure that we can win games. And that's just the best thing that I feel like that I'm in. I need a Super Bowl ring, too.
Kevontae Turpin here with us. Yeah, it seems like you could be a threat out of the backfield and also as a wide receiver as well.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah, that's basically what we're leaning on this upcoming season. You know, we're trying to get more points on the offense end.
Kevontae Turpin here with us, Pro Bowler from the Dallas Cowboys. So your season just came to a close on Sunday. How do you reflect back on the season that the Dallas Cowboys had?
I say we had a great season. You know, Cowboys, you know, they had the last 2 years, you know, most of the winning season that they had in the regular season. So I feel like we had a good year. I just feel like we just had some up and downs that we had to come over, that we just got to do this offseason, you know, bring some new pieces in. But I feel like this offseason gonna be really great for the Cowboys. We just need some more leadership and stuff like that. And I just feel like we'll be great. You know, we had a great year. We just got to get over that hump. You know, we just got to get to the championship games.
How do you view Dak Prescott as a leader?
Oh, Dak, he's a great leader. You know, he's the most vocal guy I ever been around. You know, he try to keep everybody up. You know, Dak is a great leader, you know. I got way more respect for Dak, you know, just the kind of person he is.
When did it hit you with the season that you were having individually, like, okay, I'm starting to have some success? Because I know you didn't think this was possible before the year started.
I'll say like week 4, week 5, that's when I really, you know, started to realize that I'm basically like a big part of this, of the Cowboys team this year. Basically like with the field position or stuff like that, I just feel like, you know, I had a big part. And I say it really hit me like week 5, week 6, around that time when I was really like, okay, I gotta play my role, because I knew I wasn't going to get no playing time on offense. So I knew I had to lock in on the special teams and all that.
What did you think of Mike McCarthy, you know, being in the same building as him throughout this year and what he brought to the Cowboys this year as a head coach?
Mike McCarthy, man, I love Mike like he is a father, and he gave me, you know, a lot of people didn't believe in me. You know, Mike gave me the opportunity, him and Jerry, they gave me the opportunity to come play for the Cowboys, and I just want to, you know, thank them for, like, giving me that chance, you know, come, like, prove myself to them, you know. And I feel like with Mike McCarthy in the building, you know, he's he's a great sports guy. He always keep everybody, you know, energized. And keep. He's just one of them guys that you gonna always, whenever he's around, you always have a smile on his face. He'll try to do something to make you smile. AJ, what type of person he is.
Kevontae Turpin here with us. What happened? How do you explain what you guys were trying to do on that final play on Sunday?
Man, to be honest, it was a rugby play. That's what it's called. It's called rugby. So basically, like me or CeeDee Lamb, you know, we get the ball first. Then we just start, like, laddering it up. But by the time Dak threw it, the dude was already closing on me. So I didn't really have no chance to even ladder it. So that's basically what it was. It's basically like a ladder, like a hook and ladder play, basically.
How often do you guys practice that, just wondering?
We practice, like, probably, like, twice a week. You know, we're doing, like, before we head out to, like, we got a away game, a home game, like, the last practice. That's when we were practicing and stuff like that.
When you first saw it and when they first tried to practice it, and clearly you're involved in the play, like when I'm watching on my couch, Kevontae Turpin, I'm saying, what the heck is Zeke doing lining up as center? Did you have the same reaction when you see Zeke snapping the ball?
When they put the play in, it was just like, I was like, what is Zeke doing? And I'm like, but then you kind of find out he wasn't eligible to like do nothing. All that he could do a block. Until we start laddering the play. So basically, they were putting people on the field that they can do something with the ball, basically. That's basically what it was. And when they put the play in, you know, when we first ran, like the first time we ran it, like we really like scored on our defense. So it seemed like it was a good play when we did it. So that's why I feel like they kept it in, and it was just like that.
Kevontae Turpin here with us. So you started to really have a great return up against the Niners when you guys were down 16-9 and then got tackled by Robbie Gould. What would you have done differently there when you go back and watch it?
You know, to be honest with you, man, I was up like the whole night, you know, just watching that play. You know, I just felt like, man, I could have did way more than I did, you know, just running to him. I would have did differently. I would have hit the outside, you know, my block, the way the blockers were set up, I should have just used my speed. That's the only thing I really can't say. I should have just used my speed.
How tough is it to move on from a game like that? Like, you're human. You eventually got to get back to living your life and enjoying your off season. But with it being that fresh, like, does that still just really sting the performance that happened on Sunday?
Yeah, it still stings a little bit. But at the same time, you know, you got to always have that neutral thinking. You know, so at the same time, I just feel like, you know, it's going to hit a lot because we had a chance. We really had a good chance of winning that game. So it's going to hit me for a little, probably like a couple more days, and you know, I'll be back to neutral and back to my regular thinking and trying to get back right this offseason.
So it's Me Brands Pro Bowl Weekend Celebrity Basketball Classic. You get your tickets at itsmebrands.com, and the event supports the up on cancer. Just tell me a little bit about the event and the basketball game that's going down.
I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking, like I tell a lot of people on the Cowboys team, man, I'm one of the best, basketball player on the Cowboys team. So I just feel like with the event going on, I got to come show these boys, like, my showcase and what I do. Because, to be honest, basketball really was my first sport. So basically, I'm just going to go out there and try to have fun with these guys, you know, some of the guys I never met before. So it's going to be a lifetime experience with me because, you know, this is just my first year doing everything, basically.
Once again, you could go and attend it at the Thomas & Mack Center in Las Vegas. You get your tickets at itsmebrands.com. Kevontae Turpin, best of luck. Enjoyed hearing your story. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Appreciate you for having me.
There you go. Kevontae Turpin joining us. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We will break. We'll come on back. When we do return, we'll talk about the future of Sean Payton.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings you the AFC and NFC championship games. Streaming live for free this Sunday on the Odyssey app. The 49ers visit the Eagles.
Touchdown, Jalen Hurts.
Gives it to McCaffrey up the middle into the end zone.
And then it's a rematch between the Bengals and the Chiefs.
Wide open, Ja'Marr Chase takes it in.
Touchdown, Chiefs.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand.
Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news. And add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings you the AFC and NFC championship games. Streaming live for free this Sunday on the Odyssey app. The 49ers visit the Eagles.
Touchdown, Jalen Hurts.
Gets it to McCaffrey up the middle into the end zone.
And then it's a rematch between the Bengals and the Chiefs.
Wide open. Jamar Chase takes it in.
Touchdown, Chiefs.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It's The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So Sean Payton, I don't know if he prefers this, but I do think it's the best outcome for Sean. Ian Rappaport says right now no team has scheduled the second interview with Sean Payton. So right now it looks like, and this could change, it's always a fluid situation, but right now it looks like Sean doesn't have a home for next year. And no one has blinked yet and has made a hire. And there's only five jobs to begin with. And really, I only think, like, I guess you could say three are in play. Where I think Arizona's in play. Denver's in play. And then I guess you could say the Panthers are in play. But the more and more you hear about the reporting and who's getting second interviews, like, it doesn't seem like he's going to the Panthers. You know, the Cardinals and the Broncos will have to wait and see. But for me, I thought all along that if he was going to take a job, it was either going to be in Denver or it's going to be with the Cardinals. And I've been told, and this was 2 weeks before the Broncos even started interviewing, don't expect Sean to wind up in Denver, because he didn't think, the person that I talked to here in this situation did not think that the Broncos were going to give up the draft capital that it was going to cost to go get Sean. Now, they did pick up a first-round pick in that Bradley Chubb trade, and you know, bare minimum, you're going to have to give up a first-round pick to go get Sean Payton. So, with that being said, and if it was going to be the Broncos, and I know there's been some conflicting reporting based off what I just said, wouldn't a deal, I know it's easier said than done because you got to agree on compensation with the Saints, but you would have thought that a deal would have already been done by now or close to being done right now. The more and more this goes on, Hickey, and I did think this was going to be, let's see if Sean takes a job and then the other dominoes will fall. Unless Sean tells the team, hey, I'm not interested in going to you. The team says, we're not interested in Sean. If he doesn't get a job by the end of this week, Hickey, I'm starting to think he's going to be back with Fox next year. The only exception would be if he's that addicted to coaching that he goes to New Orleans and says, would you guys take me back even though, and then he'd be screwing over his guy and Dennis Allen, even though you guys told Dennis Allen he was going to be back, would you take me back and maybe I'll make a last-ditch effort at Tom Brady? If I had to predict right now, and this has all been changing, I would say it's probably the likeliest that Sean's going to be back on Fox next year, Hickey.
I hate to say it, but same. I really thought he was going to take the Broncos job. I really thought he was just, at this point, desperate enough to take any job out there, and he was just missed coaching too much to not want to go back to Fox. But except when you take four interviews and you have zero second interviews, it's not because I think the teams you interview with don't like you. I think it's because Sean Payton's telling them, as much as, you know, I appreciate your interest, that interview is also him feeling the organization out, and I don't think he got a good feel from any of the four, and that's, to me, why he's done. Like, at this point, I would be floored. He's coach, I think, because that would have happened already.
And I remember saying when it started, I don't know if he would do this, but I did think the best course of action for him would be taking another year off. Because these jobs, and I know whenever a job is available, most of the times they're not desirable jobs, but there's sometimes a team loses in the playoffs and they fire their coach, or a team just that has a lot of talent has a down year and misses out in the postseason. The Colts are a project. The Panthers have a really talented defensive side of the ball. They got almost nothing on the offense side of the ball. They're a big project. The Cardinals, we don't know when Kyler Murray's going to be able to come back. The Broncos, Russell Wilson, his ceiling may just be good. And you're in a division with the Chiefs and the Chargers for the foreseeable future. So you go through these jobs that are out there, and I don't think the Colts, right, ever showed any interest. Right? And they never even had a first interview with Sean?
Only team did not interview him. That's correct.
So you look around, like, if you wanted to tell me Arizona, okay, I could see it. That's where I thought he was going to go from the start. Denver, I was always skeptical just based off what I was told about them after the Russ trade, not being willing to give up the draft capital. But then that quickly changed because they did interview him. Now, I don't think there's harm in interviewing him. But I go back to the question, why is he getting a job? And you think it's more Sean related. I do think part of that is true. But on the other hand, and I know you're going to tell me, oh, well, why would they interview with this guy in the first place if they weren't serious about the draft compensation? But the Saints' price, I think, could play a major role in this, where teams could go interview him, but at the end of the day, they get a little cold feet because of what it could potentially cost to have to go trade and give up Sean, not only financially, where it's $15 to $20 million. I know that's not an issue for the Broncos, but the draft capital is a big one. I really do believe the draft capital makes this a lot more complicated.
For a team that's desperate, though, like Denver, I don't think so. I think they would have been willing to pay the piper. And again, I think they would have been paying whatever the salary, if it's $15 million a year, $20 million a year, for a guy of his success and history and resume. I think the Broncos, especially when you have Russell Wilson in dire need of fixing, I would say that for that team specifically, and still even most, I mean, that's, again, Sean Payton's not a guy that's going to come around very often. He's a known commodity. He's had a lot of success. He's won a Super Bowl. He's done wonders with an offense. You're not going to really get another candidate like him again that you know for sure is a surefire hit.
Let me just say this. I think Sean is a wonderful football coach. I think he is a fantastic football coach. But I do think with how much we've obsessed over him and how much we all have slobbered over him, I do think he is a little bit overrated in terms of $20, $25 million a year and all the capital that you're going to have. Like, people are talking about the Raiders package for a guy that was overrated, right, in Gruden when he got traded from the Raiders to the Bucks, and you had to have that whole two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and $8 million go back to the Raiders. Like, Gruden, we all admit, is an overrated coach. I think Sean is a much better coach than Gruden. And I'm not saying Sean's a bad coach. I'm not saying he's just a good coach. I think he's a great coach. But I think we look at Sean as he's coming in and you automatically win a Super Bowl with Sean. If he goes to Denver, I think that culture's improved. I think that team is improved. And I think the confidence of the guys has improved. But you still have a $1 million question in Russell Wilson, and can he be great? And I don't know if Russell Wilson, even with the coaching of Sean, can still be great. Like, if he went to Arizona, Arizona fans should be doing backflips. But is Kyler Murray just a really, 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 really good player? Or can he be a great player? Can he have the maturity to be a leader of men in that locker room? And yes, bringing in Sean, that does help. But it doesn't automatically mean that the Broncos go from being down and out to then this big contender. Or the Cardinals go from being a team that can't finish to all of a sudden they start finishing games. It helps you. But I do think in some regards, Hickey, we overrate the impact a little bit that, oh, if the Broncos get Sean Payton, automatically, get ready, the Broncos are going to go dethrone the Kansas City Chiefs to go win the AFC West.
I mean, track record would suggest otherwise, though, and came into New Orleans, which is a team that was scuffling and made them contenders almost instantly, and took a team that was, again, dreadful into a contender for 15 straight years.
Well, that's a little misleading.
Why is that?
They did miss the playoffs. I think it was, what, 3 years in a row when they went 7-9, 7-9, and 7-9?
Okay, so 12 out of 15 years. Sorry, my fault.
But I'm just saying, like, that's part of it. Like, isn't it similarly to, like, how sometimes Steelers fans feel about Mike Tomlin? Where they go, like, I think Mike Tomlin is a wonderful coach, but there's some Steelers fans that will say, we're sick and tired of just having a team that's told we're going to be contenders and then not actually going out there and win another championship. That's all I'm saying. And you look at the end, and I do think it was because Drew Brees didn't hold up his end of the bargain. And Drew Brees unfortunately got hurt. And Drew Brees had turnovers in big spots, but they had teams for three straight years that you thought would have won a Super Bowl. They didn't get to another Super Bowl. And I know people could say, oh, well, you had the bad penalty and all that. Drew Brees still threw an interception in overtime. He did. You know, Taysom Hill, who was a Sean creation, and I know we all like to poke fun at Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill outplayed Drew Brees in that game up against the Minnesota Vikings, where Taysom Hill made big plays, and then Drew Brees either threw a pick or fumbled the football away in a big spot. So I'm not saying Sean's a bad coach. I'm not saying Sean is just a good coach. I think he's a great coach. But I think when you start to talk about 20 to 25 million and giving up two first-round draft picks potentially and two second-round draft picks, that guy better go win a Super Bowl. And just because you get Sean to go to Arizona or Denver, I don't expect either of those teams right now until they do a lot more work to go on out there and be in Super Bowl contention. But I do think it's a mixture of two things to get back to the original question. I do think it's something that we both miscalculated, that Sean would be willing to sit out another year, and I do believe the Saints complicate this. Because you could talk to Sean, you could interview Sean, but you can't talk about a contract until you agree on what the compensation would be on the trade. If you get to a part where you agree to compensation on the trade, you better get the contract done, because then you're just teasing your fans. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So are you with me? I know we've been all over this place, and this changes every day, that we're now both fully going on the side that Sean's going to be back on a studio set on Fox?
Yeah, he's not coaching the NFL next year.
Okay. That means for both of us here, get the press conference set up where in Arizona or Denver, because we're both on the same thing. Usually opposite does happen. By the way, we're going to take a break here. Talking about coaching future, someone that I was told by Hot Take Hickey that there was a 0% chance that he was going to get a second interview, cough, cough, Jeff Saturday, got a second interview today with the Indianapolis Colts. Is Jeff Saturday, I can't believe we got to tease this, is Jeff Saturday going to be the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts? We get into that discussion next. And Hickey, I see the steam coming out of his ears right now. He's as red as a tomato. He looks like he's a volcano, just waiting and waiting and waiting to erupt. He is so annoyed right now, that Hot Take Hickey, because he said a week ago, 0% chance, 0% chance that Jeff Saturday was going to get a second interview. 0% chance that he's going to become the head coach of the Colts full time. Now, he hasn't been offered the job yet. He hasn't been named the full time coach. But if you're getting a second interview, you're telling me there's a chance. And oh, please. I think I've been good to start this year of 2023. It's only been 25 days. Sports gods, please, please, please do me a favor. I'm down on one knee begging, begging. Jeff Saturday, next head coach of the Colts. And if I could ask for another wish, when that happens, or if it does happen, can we get the announcement we're on the air? Because I want to see the reaction in person of one Hot Take Hickey. We talk about the Colts next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It's hypothetical because it's not going to happen. Because there's a 0.00000% chance he's getting hired.
Clip this.
But that's we can clip it all you want. I'm telling you right now, Jeff Saturday's not getting hired as head coach. There's no chance. He's probably not even getting a second interview.
Oh, that I guarantee
he's
you.
Not getting a second interview.
I'm not saying he's getting the job, but I guarantee you he gets a second interview. Because here's what you're missing.
No
Jim
chance.
Irsay loves this guy. And looks at him like he's one of his sons. He can't say no to this guy. That's why he has the job in the first place.
Why is this getting leaked out? We hear nothing about any Colts interview outside of Raheem Morris, which apparently went great. Colts interviewed a ton of candidates right now.
Maybe Jim's trying to justify it to the media.
Jim is trying to right now test the water, see what people are thinking, sees the bad reaction. I'm telling you right now, no shot.
God.
No chance.
I have sports gods. I have one.
You've
wish.
Used up 500
Shut up.
Wishes.
Shut
you
up.
Cannot get 501.
Out. I have one wish in this offseason. There's only 5 jobs available. Please, 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 please. I want to see Hickey suffer. I want to see him cry. I want to see him root against the Colts. Liar. He will always root for the Colts. I want Jeff Saturday as the next head coach. Just to see how Hickey would squirm and justify this one.
Oh, hello. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. That was 10 days ago where I tried to tell Hickey that there was a chance Jeff Saturday would get the job. And when he said, no chance he gets the job, I said, okay, he will definitely get a second interview. And he said, 0.0% chance he will even get a second interview. Well, today, we should really, Hickey, I may pay for you to go to Indianapolis and just like stalk Jeff Saturday and stalk also Jim Irsay and just see every move that they're making so we could be the first people to know. But today, there was an interview, a second interview, let me remind you, because I already had the first interview, a second interview with the Colts and Jeff Saturday. Hickey, you are a Colts fan? You never thought the second interview was going to happen? Your reaction, por favor.
Not worried. So, no, he's not getting the job. You can't double down on 0.0. You can't get any lower than that, obviously. But if you could, that's where I'd be. He's not getting the job. He'll sit in front of Jim Irsay's face. He will finally now talk to him one-on-one when he just talked to Chris Ballard last week. And nothing's going to change. I'm telling you right now, he's not getting the job. I have no doubt in my mind.
But what does that mean when you told me 10 days ago that there was no chance that he was going to get a second interview? And this is my thing with you, because I've told you about this before. You dig your heels in so deep about what you don't want to see happen, and you should not want to see Jeff Saturday get the job, but there has to be some percentage of chance if he's getting a second interview. And I said, I didn't think it was likely he would get the job, but there has to be some percentage of chance that he's going to get the job if they're bringing him back for a second interview.
The only thing I underestimated was Jim Irsay wanting to see him in person.
That's
all.
Because he can't say no.
That's all.
He can't say
Jim
no.
Jim Irsay could sit there. He can hear him talk, try to talk football. I don't know how he's going to do that, to be completely honest. I don't know what staff you're hiring.
He's a football player. I think he could talk football.
I don't know how you're going to sell your vision. I don't know. That's something that he's going to get outclassed in. Now, I did see this on Twitter today. I think it's a good point. Mm-hmm. He's going first for the second interview. That's great for myself specifically. Why? Because now there's going to be 6 other interviews after Jeff Saturday to show you how bad Jeff Saturday was. So in case there's any doubt in Jim Irsay's mind, he's not the guy. You will see what a true interview, what a true head coach looks like the next week or so, week and a half. And you'll see that Jeff Saturday is not the guy.
I believe what Josina Anderson said is 1,000% true. And I've told you this, that Jim Irsay is going to have a problem saying no to a guy that he loves like a son in Jeff Saturday. And Josina Anderson said today that she believes Jim wants to hire Jeff, but a lot of other people in the organization don't want to. Now, you got to remember whose team this is, Jim. And it's his team. Now, he could not listen to some of those other guys that are saying, don't hire him, don't hire him, don't hire him. But those people saying don't hire him, even if they do hire him, are still going to want their paycheck, and they're going to have to just deal with it. But that's the way that I think this is going to go down. Jim is really going to want to hire him. And the question just comes, does Jim listen to his guys that are saying, go with this guy, go with that guy, whoever it may be that it's not named Jeff Saturday,
or does he just operate on his own? And if you're saying there's a 0% chance that Jim doesn't operate on his own way, then you just don't understand rich owners in the NFL, because the owners are the ones that make the hires. Now, a smart owner should listen to his people that he does hire and that he does employ. I don't know if Jim Irsay is this wonderful owner like you think he is.
I don't know. I never say he's a wonderful owner, especially this year. Every time he's gotten involved, it's been an abject failure without a doubt. And he's someone who is sensitive to what the fans say. He is someone who does want to be perceived well. I don't think he will hear or see everyone in the building say, no Jeff Saturday, no Jeff Saturday, no Jeff Saturday. See every single fan, every Colts fan possible, starting a hashtag, Saturday leave, and say, you know what? I'm going to hire Jeff Saturday. And there's a damn petition to not hire Jeff Saturday as a head coach out there. He's not going to do it.
I'm going to scratch your trip to Indianapolis. I'm going to go to Indianapolis. And I have some good calamari from what I remember at that JW Marriott. I'm going to go to Indianapolis, and I'm going to try to find Jim Irsay, and I'm going to tell him why he should hire Jeff Saturday. And it's going to be completely me giving him BS reasons, because I don't think he should give the job. But I really think that's how easily Jeff Saturday can get the job here, because Jim Irsay can so easily talk to anyone and be convinced. So we may have to look up tickets during the break of, I'm going to be like Cliff Kingsbury going to Thailand. I'm not even going to get a return ticket. I'm going to make a one-way ticket to Indianapolis. Anyway, I have a new scale for you, by the way. Because when you dig your heels in so deep and you become so ridiculous, you can't even acknowledge that there's a chance he gets the job. Like, I'm not saying you got to give me an 80% chance, but if he's getting a second interview, bare minimum, there's a 5 to 10% chance that he's going to get the job. Would you agree, Hickey, that you are extremely protective of your hair and you take great pride in your hair that is on the top of your cabeza? Would you agree with that statement?
I like my hair, yeah.
Yeah. You gel it up all the time. You've even talked about fears of going bald because you don't think that you would look good bald. I would not look good bald.
No fears of going bald, but I would not look bald.
Which I actually disagree. I think you'd be fine if you did happen to lose all your hair. But when you say a 0.0% chance, the only way I can interpret that means that there is no way, absolutely no way, correct, that you believe that someone like Jeff Saturday is going to be getting the job.
That's right.
Would you be willing to bet that if Jeff Saturday ends up becoming the full-time coach of the Indianapolis Colts, that on this show you will shave off your hair, all of it, and you'll go bald? It'd grow back, but we get to shave off your... Well, get a barber, but we get to shave off all of your hair, or at least give you a buzz cut, like a real buzz cut on CBS Sports Radio.
See, I was actually thinking about this last week when I saw Jordan Schultz's tweet. Said, what can I do to really just be as defiant as I can to show you that he has no chance? And I couldn't really think of anything. I did think I shaved my head, I'll be honest, at one point. But my thought was this. If the impossible happens and Jeff Saturday is hired, I do not want to have the worst head coach in the NFL and no hair. So I'm still defiant that he's not going to get hired, but I'm going to prevent myself from adding insult to already injury.
No, it means you have no guts. It means you have no courage. And it just simply means that you actually think, and this has been what I've always told you. Maybe the no guts and no courage part was a little bit extreme. I'll take that back. But what I've always told you is when Hickey says it's a 0.0% chance, it's not separating will and should. Like, should Jeff Saturday get the job? Absolutely not. Will he? You got to at least say there's some chance if he's getting a second interview. So for you to be so stubborn and just operate on what you think should happen and make that as your will and say there's a 0% chance, I think you saying you would not shave your hair off is basically you admitting that you think that there is some percentage of chance because you are that protective about your hair.
0.000.
But those words mean nothing. When you told me 10 days ago there was 0% chance he was getting a second interview and you're not willing to shave off your hair.
If we're going
to
talk percentage, just to be fair, I said 0.000% chance he's going to get the job. I said he's probably not going to get an interview. There's no chance he gets the interview. Okay, I'm wrong about that. He's still not getting the job.
You said there's no chance. You could not try to squirm your way out of
this. I'm not squirming. I'm just saying that the percentages were about him getting the head coaching
job.
And
you said
he's not going to get the job.
And you said there's no chance. No chance. Your words that he gets a second interview.
That's right. And I underestimated Jim Irsay's wanting to see him in person.
So
that's
if there's 0.00000% chance that he's going to get the job, you got to risk shaving your hair on this show.
Why?
because it actually
shows me. It's my life. It's going to be hell if he's hired. That's hell for me. So I'm not adding it any worse.
I don't believe you're number zero because you just don't want it to happen. There's a difference. You got to acknowledge that there's at least a chance it's going to happen when the guy gets a second interview. One, two, three. It's over. Folks, he believes there's a chance that Saturday gets the job. Come on, Jim. Do it.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings you the AFC and NFC championship games. Streaming live for free this Sunday on the Odyssey app. The 49ers visit the Eagles.
Touchdown, Jalen Hurts.
Gets it to McCaffrey up the middle into the end zone.
And then it's a rematch between the Bengals and the Chiefs.
Wide open, Ja'Marr Chase takes it in. Touchdown, Chiefs.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.